Acts chapter 2. Maybe I better get that too. Beginning at verse 1. I'm reading. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Man, for a title to some short words this morning, the sufficiency of Christ. Amen. The sufficiency of Christ. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. They're in an area, you know what, everywhere the gospel goes, there's always somebody trying to subvert it. Everywhere the good news goes, somebody's always trying to subvert the gospel. Either they're trying to say, well, you need to add something here because you're not getting the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into the message here. Paul says he's concerned about them because they have issues in the area that they're in. It is interesting. Now, without the love of God and the Spirit of God, unity is not possible like it says in the text. Because without the Spirit of God, we in Trinity cannot be unified as a body. Now, if we have the love of God, it's interesting. If you have the love of God, you have to have the Spirit of God. If you have the Spirit of God, you have the contentment of God. What God has given me is all right. And it's sufficient for me. The word sufficiency means that you actually have all that you need with what you've been provided. Amen. If you have Christ, that means you've got everything. Amen. If I have Christ, then I have the power to say no to a false teacher who comes in with the wrong gospel. Amen. Amen. Listen. I'm trying to keep cap on. I listen to Hank Hentograph sometimes, and I have to watch how I listen and how long I listen. Because people call in consistently and say, what about this teacher? What about this teacher? What about this teacher? And my question is always to myself, do you study at all? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're in the Word of God and the Spirit of God is in you, why in the world are you asking somebody else about a teacher? Shouldn't you know this yourself? We said the sufficiency of Christ, you received everything you're supposed to have through Christ. And it just blows me out the water what you're asking for. Don't you know the Spirit of Christ living in you? Don't you know? That's how we get messed up when we get the knocks at the door. The Jehovah's Witness come and they have a whole different type of thing for us, and they slick enough to get it close to the truth, and we don't study enough to see it's not close enough to the truth for me to agree with you, and they undress us right at the front door. And we Christians. Okay. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay. I'm sorry, Hank. Do you know the gospel at its deepest point is very simple? Very simple. But we as human beings, this is what we do. First of all, we want to add something to what we got. We want to add something to that. And then if we think we are intellectuals beyond intellect. If it's too simple, this is what we don't know. We need to add a little something here. Because this, it can't be this simple. God came down and he died for us. He got up again. He rose again. No, that's too simple. We got to add a little something to that. You have to participate in a circumcision rite. You have to participate in you have, well, if you're not baptized, then you're not saved. Now, Jesus was an angel in heaven. Y'all looking at me strange, but that's what they say. And they catch so many people on that parade, Pastor. But the gospel is simple. At its deepest point, it's simple. You have to ask yourself, why in the world would God Almighty come down and die for me when Romans 5, 6, and 7 say, when I was without strength, Christ died for the ungodly? That's the mystery. Why? Because of his great love that he has for us. That's an exhibition of the love of God. Do you know what, my wife, I had a knock at the door, and it was a Jehovah's Witness, and I say, brother, we don't believe the same thing. He said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. I say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, number one. I believe that. I believe he's God Almighty. I believe that. And my wife, she ain't the quietest person. Sorry, babe. From behind on the couch, she say, well, what you here for then? It was down low, but I heard it. What you here for then? If you don't know what you're supposed to know about that Bible sitting in your lap or on your digital device, you get sunk. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Paul says in verse number 4, he says, don't be deluded. I'll read it. I say this in order that no one may delude you or no one may beguile you. Don't that word sound familiar? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Come on, brother, I see you looking at me. You ready to read. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3.
Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eye, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. Listen, interesting. Walking with God in the garden, God gave them a word of every tree in this garden you may eat, except one tree. Now, he's given them all that they need to stay alive for real. He's given them every word that they need to keep us from being in sin, everyone that's born after them. But the serpent rises up, and he actually causes a question to what God has said. God said, don't eat of the tree, and she thinks, man, is there more wisdom than what God has given? That's what the false teachers do. You all getting shortchanged, for there is more wisdom than really that you know about. It is the same ploy being played over and over and over, and we still falling for it. God has given us everything we need for our salvation and to live a holy life, and we want to add something to it. Question what God had said. They ate, we fall into sin, and everybody after them is plunged into sin. Any wisdom that didn't come from God usually results in death. Go also to Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Galatians chapter 3. They ain't gonna kill me. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Have somebody read that for me. Come on, sister.
Amen. Amen. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified.
1, 2, 3.
Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?
Oh, my goodness. The same way God saved these Galatians, he saved Abraham. Abraham was not saved by works. He was saved by believing what God said. Now listen, we have a pension, a tendency. Let's add to what God has done. It'll be better. No, it won't. No, it won't. It ends up in death, as we've seen. Paul goes on to say, you have accepted the teaching of Christ. Now it's time to live it out. And I'll tell you the truth, if you're trying to add stuff to the gospel, that's where the power loss happens. When it's time to live it out. When I'm at home and I didn't push my wife's button and she don't kill me, now if she's adding stuff to the gospel, it's a loss of power. She don't have the control she need to have. Instead of knocking Billy out, instead of knocking Billy out like her flesh said she should, now the power of God working in her, the only wisdom she needs, says, no, I'm going to love him now. If I'm on my job and my boss done sent me to the last eon, he done stepped on my toe for the last time, if I'm doing anything else but by faith believing in Jesus Christ, I'm going to go off on my boss. He goes on to tell the church, you accepted Christ, not living it. He said that you're rooted in him. And you're also built in him. Whatever you plant in the ground, it grows and it has roots. It grows far and it grows wide. Whatever you plant in the ground should come up what you put in the ground. If you put faith in Jesus Christ and you believed in Jesus Christ, you are planted firmly in the ground. And what comes out of that root should be holiness, righteousness, self-control, love, patience, out of that root. But if I add stuff to it, we have another type of growth out of that root that's not pleasing to God. And it's interesting, people who are legalistic are usually not thankful. It's missing in the equation. If you don't live according to my standards, now if I'm a Pharisee, if you don't live according to my standards, I'm unhappy. Even if everything seems to be all right, I'm still unhappy. Number one, I'm unhappy because the Spirit of God is not living in me. If the Spirit of God is living in me, that's a fruit of the Spirit. I need to be thankful for what he's done for me. Now I know what he's done for me because the Spirit now lives in me. Paul says also that they've been standing firm. Can that be said of us? That we're standing firm according to what we've learned in Christ, and that we live in Christ, that we're not blown to and fro by different winds and doctrines and somebody see us talking one way one day and then see us talking another way the next day. Almost through, so nobody go to sleep. Then Paul goes on in verse number 9 and says, in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily. The fullness of deity dwells bodily. Can you believe it? Now, if I have all that I need in Jesus Christ, the whole deity dwells in him bodily, why am I trying to look for something else? And he also says, you've been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. So what else do I need but Christ? If I have him, I have everything I need. Verse 11 says, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. That was a symbol for the Jew. If you were circumcised, but they were manually circumcised, but if you're circumcised, it's just a sign of a covenant that you had. But it was just a sign of one that was coming that wasn't made by a man helping you. It was made by the Spirit of God circumcising your heart. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism. Listen, that's a form of, number one, identification. And then it's a form of dying. If I've been buried with him in baptism, that means something had to lose its life in the process. It not only loses its life in the process, but when he was raised, I was raised. When he was raised, I was raised. And when he was raised, I was raised too in a new life. Amen. Now I can walk right. I can talk right. When sin come and knock on my door, Brother Anthony, I can say, not today. Because I've been raised with Christ. The sufficiency in Christ says that I'm free. What about you? Lord, have mercy. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You can't trap me no more because the Spirit lives in me. I dare you. You can't trap me. I'm not going to call Hank Cantograph and ask about no teacher, sister, no more. Because now I know for myself. Because the Spirit leads and guides. Today, if you didn't know, now you know. Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus is enough. I don't care who the boss is on your job. I don't care what your Social Security look like. I don't care what your next Monday look like. Jesus is enough. Last week we talked about the superiority of Christ. He was superior to the priesthood that was there because his priesthood never ended. And their priesthood ended with the death of a high priest. They got to get another one. They got to get another one. They got to get another one. But Jesus, his office of high priestly went on forever. And if it went on forever, if he's an advocate of mine, if I get in trouble, he is my advocate. I don't have to worry about him dying and another one being appointed. Whenever I'm in trouble, he's right there. He's enough, y'all, I tell you. And if you believe he's enough and live like he's enough, somebody will get free too. Somebody will ask, what must I do to be saved? In conclusion, sufficiency of Christ should lead us to a holy life and a righteous life. I hope your goal is to get your hands off the handlebars. I was a young guy. I know it don't seem like it, DJ. At one time, and used to give guys a ride on your bike, stuff that you ride down, Kensington over in that area. And they'd be sitting on the crossbar with their hands on the bar. You'd be guiding the bike. Now, you know where you need to go. But for some reason or another, they trying to help you steer. Did you hear me? And I need to make a turn, and this guy's trying to keep it straight, and we wind up on the ground. My word to you is take your hands off the bars. Let God lead your life. If he is sufficient to give you Christ, he's sufficient to take care of you. I'm through now. If you would, think about it. Ooh, God is good. God is good. Think about it, y'all. and I'll come back later for the Rotten Tomatoes. Okay? Amen.